Ready?
Odds are we're ready in your ears. Take the next step. Let us be the voices in your head.
maybe more doubts, but I know the reason you feel inside out. Well, maybe it is just that time, me and you.
Listeners, welcome to this week's episode of Through Gamers' Goggles, where we talk about the latest and the greatest gaming news of all kinds. Let's get our contact information out of the way. Let's start with the lady in the house. Claudia, where would they find you?
You can find me over on Twitter as Claudia E. You can email me as Claudia at IndieNation.fm. And you can find me over on GeekShed.net at #IndieNation, #Claudia, and #OmniDragon.
And OmniDragon, where would they find you?
You can find me on Twitter.com/OmniDragon. You can find me on Google Plus as OmniDragon. And on my website at entertainmentmix.com.
And Mr. Gamer Goggle, Matt, where would they find you at?
Well, they can find me on Facebook as Matt Lemke. They can find me on Twitter as Gamer_Goggles and GameQuest_Games. Or they can find me on Google Plus as, you know, I don't really know. I think that's AramisGQ@gmail.com. I think, I don't know if I created a username or if I kept my game name for that. I'll have to check. Boy, I feel dumb.
And we've always got Knowles sitting here. He doesn't have a headset, so he's muted when we're actually on the stream. But it's Knowles217Brian@Facebook.com, Knowles217Brian@Twitter.com, and Knowles217@Gmail.com. And, well, I'm Lumpy. I'm Lumpy on Twitter. Lumpy at IndieNation.fm. The station phone number is 818-81-INDIE. And I think, well, let's just kick it off with the news. I think Omni's got the first story, right?
That is correct.
This is from CinemaBlend.com. And Assassin's Creed 3 going all out with new look. And they said they've changed the look of the character, and they've hired a Native American consultant to make sure everything pertaining to the game's new protagonist gets handled properly.
And that game's set during the wars, right?
Yeah, during the American Revolution.
Should be.
I think it's going to be... Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think it's going to be interesting to see them spin the assassin as somebody like Daniel Boone. Or one of the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, he's actually got a bow and arrow this time instead of a crossbow like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Well, he's probably got a tomahawk and a good knife, too.
Yeah, and I don't... watching the preview video, I don't see him... in any towns, it's in the wilderness, so I wonder what that's going to be like, if they're going to add, like, you know, survival things that you have to go through, like, I don't know, hunting and making a fire or something like that, I don't know. But I really wish they'd bring more Assassin's Creed games to the Mac. So far, this one just says Xbox 360, the PS3, and it has the box of the PC on the video, but they said they don't have a date on that yet, but it's supposed to be for the rest of those systems October this year.
You Mac people.
Halloween, I think.
Yeah, but it doesn't, for the PC, doesn't actually have a date slated.
Well, that's a bummer. But I think going to what you were talking about with it being all like wilderness from the scenes you've seen, no cities.
Yeah.
I half expect the storyline to move faster and be more of like the movie Last of the Mohicans type of thing, where it's like one serious, quick, action-paced plot point after the other in different parts of the country.
That'd be cool.
During the revolution.
Yeah, they made that point in the article that it's just during the revolution. It doesn't actually, Ezio's not actually fighting, or it's not Ezio, that's right, but the main character is not actually fighting in the war. He just has someone to kill, a target in the revolution.
Well, that portion of my history is a little bit weak, but if I remember correctly, there was a big thing during the American Revolutionary War, or during that Revolutionary War, that the Iroquois, I think it was the Iroquois, and the Mohicans were pitted against each other because they were choosing different sides of the quote-unquote white man. So I think that came out in the classic, too, of the Last of the Mohicans. So it'll definitely be an interesting storyline. I actually look forward to this one more than I have all the others.
I just hope they eventually release it for the Mac. I've got Assassin's Creed 2 and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood both on the Mac, and they work fine, and I'm a big fan.
They're probably afraid that somebody's going to give it a virus.
Oh, brother. Well, by all means, keep releasing it for the PC, then.
It's like a viral Petri dish.
Yeah.
Well, moving on. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I just was going to say, I hope they continue with a great storyline like they have in the past series of it, because it looks really great.
I'm starting the first one over again because I never finished it. That's how far back I am.
I never got to play the first one because I only have a Mac, so...
Oh, well, I guess it's not that important then.
That's right.
Well, why don't you have Boot Camp installed?
Yeah, I guess I could go that route. But, I don't know.
They'll probably release the movie before it's out on Mac.
Oh, you just made him feel real good.
That would suck.
Don't cry, Abby. Don't cry.
I don't know why they're dragging their feet on that. They released 2 for the Mac. They released Brotherhood for the Mac. What's the problem? And Brotherhood hasn't even been put in the App Store yet. But it's still out there. It's still on the Mac. You can still get it. You just can't get it in the App Store. I blame Apple.
That makes sense.
Well, that's also the reason I can't update Wiretap Studio to record from multiple apps anymore, because of sandboxing in the App Store. And that would be Apple's fault, not Wiretap Studio's. I don't know why Ubisoft wouldn't release... This new Assassin's Creed for the Mac. I've also got Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, another Ubisoft game on the Mac. Come on, Ubisoft.
They can do it.
Maybe they need new developers.
They've proven that they can do it in the past. Well, you know, get moving.
So, did anybody get to watch Tabletop on Friday or since Friday?
I did not.
No, I haven't. I've been really buried, actually.
Well, Will Wheaton and his friends, they opted to play Settlers of Catan this time, which is kind of a, well, I don't know what you would describe it to. It's, you trade for wood, sheep, and ore, basically, and wheat, to attempt to win the game with, I think there's like 5 different ways you can win the game. I haven't played it in about a year, but they played it. They had a good time. I think they improved some things in the show. One of the things they did that I liked is they took the interviews of the guests and they made them into separate videos that you could grab at the end of the video. They kept the unique trophy thing. They went to the couch at the end just like they did in the other video. They spent a little more time between turns on this game because there was a little bit more to talk about, because all in all, I think Settlers of Catan is a little bit deeper than Small World was. Well, it is. There's more facets of the way you can win the game. And, of course, they had a lot of fun with the game because none of them apparently know how to roll dice. In Settlers of Catan, if you roll a 7, you get to move the bandit, and he prevents people from getting resources every turn. They rolled 7 by turn, I think, 3 or 4 of the game, like 39% of the time.
Wow. Time to go to Vegas.
Yeah, the statistic for rolling a 7 is like 13%.
Time to go to Vegas.
But if you haven't watched it, I would recommend you do so. Oh, they also put a precursor for the next show, which is a week from Friday. Cleta, you're going to want to watch at least part of it because they're doing Zombie Dice.
Hey!
And Zombie Dice is really a pretty simple game, and it's a lot of fun, especially if you've had a beer or two. and then they're doing a pretty simple game that is actually a lot of fun strategically, and it's a great game for... I would start teaching kids at 5 years old already, and adults can have fun with it. It's called Suro, and I can't remember the third game off the top of my head.
I think the precursor is a good move.
Yeah, they don't really do a whole lot with it. They just kind of list it in the credits, what they're doing the next time around, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, it's all you need. I mean, you want to tell, you know, people a reason to come back if you can. And speaking of a reason to come back, we've got one more topic we're going to cover tonight, and it's pretty broad, actually, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So it's a good time to cut to some music, and
the music the music's quite appropriate. Get to the computer and get your gun. I should mention that we opened the show with a song from Polina Korakina. You can find her at polinakorakina.com. Well, she's a local artist that I just think is great. I met her doing some movie soundtrack work, actually. I got to know her doing some movie soundtrack work. I met her before that when we went out to record another artist, and she happened to be the opening act. And her website is simply her name, .com, and I'd better spell it, huh? PolinaKorakina.com. And we'll be back after you hear a track by Chance. You can find him at mynameischance.com. And, well, we'll be back with something that the song Finger on the Trigger Makes a Man Feel Bigger certainly sets up perfectly. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Get to the computer. Get to the computer now. Listen to IndieNation.fm. Do it. Do it now.
Smile and with nothing to say, just for fun, starts to run, shakes me down, shakes me down.
interesting and downloadable. Every day, your music delivered to you every way. Welcome back to Through Gamers Goggles News. Well, our last topic has just got a whole plethora of links associated with it. The video game violence myth, right, Matt?
That is right. We're going to talk about video games and violence, some not-so-current events, and some, well, kind of more current events. And there's an interesting article to end it all at the end of the show. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to start with the violent video game myth. You can find this article at guysgirls.com. About 13 years ago in Columbine, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold ravaged the school with terror, killing 13, wounding 13, before taking their own lives. In the aftermath, people blamed violent video games. The game in particular was Doom. The author of this article says that that's backwards. People are drawn to violent games because of personality. And then he goes on, in 2008, entertainment software systems revealed that 97% of teens the ages of 12 to 17 play video games. Xbox Live has 35 million subscribers, and that grows every day. That does not include PS3 or the Wii for their live subscriptions. So if video games are the cause of teen violence, there should be a lot more of it, because even if you take a tenth of a percent, there should be like 3,500 shootings a year, right? Well, you know, it's a good point that he makes in the article. He goes on to say that, no, the cause of violence stems from the personality of individuals in question, whether it be mental, environmental, or for some other reason that varies from person to person. For example, Harris, who did the shootings in Columbine with his friend, was diagnosed by FBI psychologists as being a psychopath with a messianic grade superiority complex. Not entirely sure what that means, but it sounds like a whole lot of mean. My favorite part of the art. Go ahead.
I just think that before it was video games, it was Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, it still is. But my favorite part of the article is the fact the guy who wrote it is a Columbine graduate.
I think it's just the fact that they don't want to take responsibility for what they did, so let's blame it on a video game.
Well, I'm going to jump on the other side here, not to be attacking you, but in this particular instance, the two guys that did the shooting were already dead when video games got blamed, so they weren't really trying to use it as a cop-out. Their society was trying to use it. Their attorney was trying to use it to explain what happened or what caused it. So basically, people are looking for an escape.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was trying to get my point across, and I didn't come across as that. But that is basically what they do. It's an escape for a crime committed. They want a way out. So the quickest thing for teenagers is, while they were playing video games, it made them violent. It seems like an easy way to say, oh, that's what caused them to be this way.
I still think, like your next link is over at edition.cnn.com, and it's talking about the Norway shootings. Well,
we can go ahead.
Just because the shooter admits to using a video game for practice doesn't mean if the video game weren't there, the sick mind wouldn't have moved on to targets or, you know, some other means. And there's some good points brought up in this article, and I'd encourage the listener to go over and read the whole article, because it's a pretty in-depth article. But the point 1.5 says, quote, lots of people who play Farmville don't actually farm. If their argument were correct, shouldn't we have farmers popping up all over America by now?
Well, how do you classify people that play like Tetris or Pac-Man? I mean, where do they pop up?
Well, I don't think those would be, well, I mean, maybe Pac-Man because you eat the ghost, but, I mean, Tetris isn't really violent.
No, but, I mean, if if you've got these games that don't have the battle of good and evil in them, how does that affect people? Because it's still a competitive game. You're just exercising your brain differently. You're really competing with yourself.
Oh, and I see the point I made is actually brought up in that article we're discussing. I didn't realize that when I said it at first.
I missed the point.
The point was that if he didn't use the shooter game to train, he would have just found another means.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You did say that, but I think you didn't exemplify it the way you wanted to.
I mean, well, you know, if the mind's twisted, the mind's twisted.
This is true.
I
guess what people are reaching for is what twists the mind. And video games can't defend themselves, so they're an easy out.
I think the most detrimental impact that video games may likely have on the youth would be, number one, less physical activity. There's a lot of arguments that our youth is leaning towards obesity in the United States, and there's certainly some validity to that. And the other one, I don't know if you remember it all that well, but I know you remember the Atari 2600 and the joystick and all. That was the first time we started seeing a significant amount of carpal tunnel syndrome in teenagers. I think the newer controllers are better for that, but.
Oh, yeah, they fit in your hand. They're $90 a piece. All this good stuff.
Yeah, 90 bucks a piece. Remember joysticks were like $8?
90 yeah. bucks? That's the heck kind of controller are you buying?
I'm not. I was pricing them at Best Buy. They range anywhere from like, you can get this one with like no buttons for like $29.99. And then they got this one.
What good's a controller with no buttons?
I'm not really sure. I haven't figured that out. But they have this one.
What is it? Just a piece of square plastic?
It's like a joystick that rides on a rollerball. And it's got like 18 buttons on it. It was $132. That's a good point, Quetta. Everybody should just play Resident Evil and then kill zombies.
Quetta's going to start eating all our brains, and we can all blame that on Resident Evil afterwards if we've got enough brains left to blame
That's
anything.
Right. Video games are the cause of cannibalism.
That was epic.
Clinton needs the brains.
Yeah, I need the brains.
See?
Why I really put these in here, especially the second one, is how far is too far for a video game? If people can use them to practice hunting other people, are they maybe a little too realistic?
I don't know. I haven't seen too far in a video game yet. I'll let you know. it hasn't happened yet, though.
So, you play a lot of these video games, Omni, right?
Sometimes.
How many killing sprees have you been on to date?
Killing sprees?
Self-defense right. Doesn't count.
Just that one time back in 2011? No.
Then I haven't been on one yet. Huh. What up with that?
I've been playing more video games since 2005, and, you know, I haven't killed anyone in that time that hasn't attacked me first. And I didn't do it with a gun.
No, but what I think would be cool is if I could, oh man, if I was some rich miser or something, I would have someone custom make me an Ezio Auditore outfit for Halloween, like complete and full, and that'd be freaking awesome.
They make them.
Crossbow included. Yeah. Well, I can't afford that. I doubt it's within my price range.
They're like $900 or something.
Oh, is that all for
some clothes? Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but they're like real armor. I mean, they're like real leather and
that'd be cool.
Chain. And I mean, they're like real.
That'd be so awesome.
For you to find somebody and custom make the chainmail?
I need it.
You're looking at a couple grand just for the chainmail. I know guys that make it. They're not cheap.
Get on that now.
Yeah, I'm all over that. I need a new chainmail suit for walking around the hood.
Hey, you know.
Heck yeah.
I am having the guy make me just a coat that I can wear while I do my martial arts training. It weighs 38 pounds. I tell you what, it makes a huge difference when you're working out. And it's every bit worth the $900.
Sounds like Piccolo or Goku.
And I wear it to cons, too. So, and it'll stop a knife better than Kevlar. Anyway, we're a little off traffic here.
No way.
We were still talking about killing
game
things.
Kill.
Well, yeah, we're still talking about killing things, you know. And,
game kill.
I've been educating my boys a little bit on that's not really going to work because they're all like, oh, this is what they do in Halo, and this is how it works. They go, that won't work in real life, son. This is what you do. Don't ever let me see you do it, otherwise you'll be laying down there with them. Well, you know, I think they're at that age where they're like, oh, this is kind of real. Even though they realize it's fiction, they kind of don't know where the boundary is yet. They're still kind of learning that.
So are you trying to say that I couldn't quite jump off of the top of the Empire State Building into a pile of hay? That might not work out so well.
You're a dragon. You could do that just fine.
If you had a bunch of boxes stacked up, you could do it.
The right amount of boxes.
That'd be funny.
I mean, as high as the Empire State Building.
Haven't you ever seen that episode of MythBusters where they jumped into the dumpster?
No.
They jumped into the dumpster from 50 feet higher than it, six stories, and they didn't get hurt.
Are you sure?
Yep. The insurance company would not let them go any higher, though.
There's a physics professor at Cleveland State. His name is Gerald Walker. He's also the only active author on the best-selling college physics textbook in the country, Fundamentals of Physics by Halliday Resnick Walker. And he used to do this thing called the Flying Circus of Physics. Now, he's got a black belt in karate, and he would, like, break the boards and explain the physics behind it. Like, if you stack all those boards up, you really only need the physical energy to get through the first board, and the rest just follows. And he would do things like lay on a bed of nails and have students break cinder blocks off of his chest with a sledgehammer and explain how it dispersed the load. And rumor has it, I cannot confirm this, I can get no comments on it, that he wanted to do a box jump off of the Fenn Tower down there at Cleveland State. And basically, the physics behind a box jump is you stack up these boxes and you're only going to reach the velocity of going through the first one because each one below is going to break your fall. For some reason, the university wouldn't let him attempt that stunt, I'm told.
Well,
huh.
I think maybe they didn't want him to attempt it just in case he was wrong.
It's physics. It's math. You're not going to be wrong.
But there's this thing called liability.
And that's probably what stopped it, yeah.
The insurance company probably says, I don't care what physics says, it's his life.
Your last article is a bit more positive, isn't it? And this one's right up my alley.
Wait. Noel's made a good point. In the chat, he said, not the video game is how violent, it's about how you use it. You're right, Noel's. If I take the DVD and I whip it across the room, it will stick, and I've seen them stick into concrete, so they are a weapon.
But if you're going to use a weapon, a throwing star is far better. Anyways, the last article, I think, is pretty positive and good, and it talks about, it's over at medicinenet.com, and they're using a video game as therapy to help treat teen depression. And it's a 3D fantasy world. They learn classic mental behavior skills for combating depression. They're using an acronym SPARKS, SPARX, which is short for Smart, Positive, Active, Realistic, X Factor, Thoughts. So not only is it not about the video game, but it's how the video game's designed for an end result. Now, I don't know of any video games that market their violent games as a training aid, short of the ones that the United States military uses to recruit youngsters into the service.
Exactly.
And
they're very different in gameplay.
Yeah, well, here we are blaming video games, but our own government is using them as recruiting aids?
Well, you know, they're allowed to skirt that line, I suppose.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Really makes you wonder.
There's a lot of things in that statement. It's really kind of loaded because, well, yeah, they're using video games that they know teenagers are attracted to.
Right.
So in one way, they're affecting a corruptible mind, so to speak. And in another way, they're using it to entice them to do things that they might be really good at. So it's kind of a catch-22, and we'd have to spend a lot more time thinking about the moral issues involved, because it really is a loaded statement, like a revolver.
Well, so again, it goes back to the thought that we were first talking about, is are these people attracted to these video games any different than the normal population? Are the ones that are predisposed to violent behavior attracted to use them as a training aid? Maybe the military should recruit more of them. You know, again, I don't think that there's any real argument to this thing that Dungeons and Dragons breeds killers.
Well, in the CNN article, they talk about how studies have been done since the early 70s on it, and there's not really been any conclusive results. And then they go into a more recent study. It says, well, you know, teenagers that were showing media, you know, like X number of them, which was like close to half, were all, you know, linked to doing things that were more violent with their media. Well, but that media spanned across TV shows, movies, video games, reading. Well, gee, why do you think that is? We're humans. We get bored easy. We like action. Not all action will affect us the same way. It's not all going to stimulate us the same way. In a horror movie, when you hear that music pick up, your heart starts to race a little bit more, right?
Oh, horror movies. You know,
where's Gavin?
I have to mention, you know, we do have the Midnight Spook Show here on IndieNation.fm, but boy, I saw a great one. It's called Damned by Dawn. If you're listening and you're into horror movies, you probably want to check that one out. I think that's it for the articles we had lined up. Are there any final closing thoughts from anybody?
Just that people make the decisions. Video games really can influence them. That's my take on it. If you're going to choose to pull a trigger, make sure it's at a target.
I couldn't agree more. And I'm going to close it out with one that's a little bit lighter. And it's called True Gangster. And it's by an artist called Nice Peter. You can find him at myspace.com/NicePeter. And as many of the artists that we play here at IndieNation.fm, Mevio's Music Alley. But on that note, I think it's just time to say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you all next week with Through Gamer Goggles Gaming News.
I'm a true-to-life gangster, homie, rat-a-tat-tat, and I was raised on the streets of the ghetto, yeah, true that. If you wanna start static, better think about it. Ooh, I may be white, but I'll put a cap in your rear. And if you wanna step to me, gonna wind up like your homie, getting tipped to by my 40-ounce beer. Because I killed you with my 9mm Glock pistol 45. If you were still alive, you'd find my foot up your booty. I'm blasting 100-watt journey as I cruise around the streets. Got the top down in my Mercedes-Benz. I got a tattoo of my kitten scrawled across my skinny white chest, and I got diamonds on my contact lens. I'm a player, baby. Don't try to test me. My mama said knock you out. You open up your mouth and find my foot up your booty.
like to send a shout out to all my homies keeping it real. And all you player haters better step back. Yeah, I am a true to life gangster, homie. My gun goes rat-a-tat-tat,
rat-a-tat-a-tat-tattoo.
And I was raised on the streets of the ghetto, yeah.
I thought I was already in your ears. Take the next step. Let us be the voices in your head. Indie Nation.
That's all you get.